Good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you this morning, and it's starting to look a lot like Christmas outside today. It's so good to be back. Last week, we were away, Julie and I and the boys. We were away. We were in Indiana. I ate more food than I should. We had a great Thanksgiving. We watched Michigan beat Ohio State, and then last night, I watched Michigan dismantle Iowa. It was a beautiful thing. And then I went to bed early, and I went to bed knowing that the game was in hand. Went to Indiana, and I got to see my grandmother. She's 98 years old, almost 98 years old. Doesn't she look good? I think the secret is her sweet tea. It's really, really good. And then I got to see some people. Some of you will know these people, some of you won't, but I got to see these people right here. I walked in the room, and Ben and Lois, they watch every Sunday. They watch Ben and Lois drown. Ben was on staff here at the church, and they're just such wonderful people. And so you can clap for Ben and Lois. Yeah. And Ben and Lois watch every Sunday. So Ben and Lois, if you're watching this service today, I don't know if you watched this one or the last one, I want everybody here to say, good morning, Ben and Lois. Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Good morning, Ben and Lois.
Oh, that was like we had to shovel snow. With a little more joy, Ben and Lois, this is for you. Ready? One, two, three.
Good morning, Ben and Lois.
Oh, that's good. That's good. They say hello. I walked in the room, and I sat down, and Lois said, Ben, do you know who this is? And Ben looked at me. I mean, he just stared at me. And I'm like, am I zipped up? Am I buttoned up? Is my hair right? Like, I was trying to figure out what was going on. He stared at me, and then he said, he lifted that finger like this, and he said, Reverend. And I said, that's right. She's like, this is Pastor Chad. And she told him my life story there. So I walked in. She said, I've been saving this book just for you. Like only Lois saves a book just for someone who may visit someday. So it was really good. She's in there in the same facility as my grandmother. So that's how I got to see them. I have a question for you this morning. Oh, you're going to love this question. Ladies, you may wince at this question. What is one word that comes to mind when you think about the birth of a child? Just say it out loud. What's a word that comes to mind when you think about the birth of a child? Men, you can go first. What's a word that comes to mind when you think about the birth of a child? Shout it out.
Pain.
What is it? What, back here, what?
Pain.
Pain, okay. Anybody else?
Diapers.
Diapers, yeah, yeah. What is it?
Blessing.
Blessing. That's a good one. Over here. What's a word that comes to mind? Wonder. Yeah.
Joy.
Amazing. Hope. Yeah. Holy. Yeah. Now, I'm a dad of three sons. I have a lot of experience with this. And Julie has more firsthand experience with this, but I've been through this three times. And in the list of words that I would use to describe the birth of a child, there's one word that I wouldn't use. This word. Peaceful. Now, it's peaceful right after it. But the 10 hours before it, not so much. Like, it's peaceful. I remember they took Chase, our firstborn, and they handed her to Julie, and she has Chase on her chest, and she's laying there, and she turned to me after like chaotic moments, tension-filled moments, emotional moments, painful moments. After all of these things, she turns to me, and Julie looks at me, and she says, Chad, let's do this again. And I was like, I need a nap. It's 3:30 in the morning. I'm not going to sleep for the next 9 months of my life. There was yelling and screaming and moaning and groaning and huffing and puffing and sweating, and that was just me. And some of you have been there. The night that Jesus was born, it'll be on the screen. Let's say it together. The night that Jesus was born was not a peaceful night. You say, well, I thought it was. I thought it was because we sing this. Linda, help me sing this. Silent night. Isn't this a pretty song? Holy night. Sing it with me. All is calm. All is bright. Does that sound like your labor experience? The night that Jesus was born was not a peaceful night. It says that there was, in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, there was a census that had been given. So people that were in their own towns all had to go to the towns of their birth for the census. And verse 3 says, everyone went to their own town to register. Everyone went there to register. And Joseph went there too. He went up with Mary, and here they are, teenage kids on this journey, up hills, down hills, sleeping out in the open on this journey. They went on this road, and they found themselves there. And when they went there, verse 6 says, when they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Do you remember when the time came for the baby to be born? Anybody? Oh, I do. I'm in our living room. I'm working on my sermon. We live in Burnups, Michigan. I'm typing away. It's a Saturday night. I had just finished it up. I thought, I'm ready to go. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to go to church. And I'm going to preach this message to my church. And I hear these words from down the hall. Chad, I need you to come. I think my water broke. Instantly, my blood pressure went up. I walk in the room, and Julie says, we need to go to the hospital. Like, now? Like, I have to preach tomorrow. Now? We drove to the hospital the whole way. We said, they're just going to send us home. We're two scared kids. That's all we are. This is false labor. And we arrived, and I remember they came in, and they said, you are staying now. The time had come for the baby to be born. And there was pushing and wincing and all kinds of things. The time had come. I remember the nurse came in the room and said, now, are we going to have an epidural today? I said, yes, we are, right here, right here. The time had come. One historian says this would have been a grueling trip, this journey for Mary and Joseph. It would have been a grueling trip, uphills, downhills. Can you imagine? Full term, walking these streets. Then you arrive, and there's barns and animals, and everyone is crowded into this little town. Think of Berkey Week. All crowded together. One historian says that there was no place for them in the inn, so she gave birth in a manger, which this manger very much was like a first century parking garage, this person wrote. Anybody ever see a parking garage that you're like, that's where I'd like to give birth? Right there. Right there. And you pair all that together, people were mad. One historian tells us that around the time when Jesus was born, people were so mad about having to go to Bethlehem for this census. They were so mad that they were rebelling against the government. Can you imagine a group of people getting mad at the government? They were angry at the government. In fact, there were riots and attacks. A writer named Josephus tells us this. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Not so much. And not so much now. I posted this week on Facebook. I thought I need some help with this sermon. So I said, I'm working on Sunday's message, and I need your help. And what is something that is draining peace in your life right now? I guessed what some people might say. There were the ordinary suspects, the ordinary comments that you would expect people would say. People said, I'm upset about politics, the media, CNN, Fox News, the president, the former president, racial tensions, COVID-19, new variants, finances, conflict between people. Then there was one honest guy in the group. I like this. This guy said, I'm upset because there's a buck that keeps showing up on my trail cam and I've never seen it in real life. How to say you're from Wisconsin without saying you're from Wisconsin. That thread after 7 hours was 88 comments deep. 88 comments. 88 comments. Then they got tense. What drained peace for one was met with combative questions by another one. And peace left the thread. People started saying, how dare you say that? How can you say that? And I ultimately deleted the whole post and moved on to more peaceful things. The next day I posted, is lasagna a casserole, yes or no? I thought it would bring about peace. Go to my social media. There's over 100 comments on that. For the record, it's a casserole. In my world, it's not a hot dish. Unless you put tater tots on it, it's a casserole. So I came to this conclusion. Let's say it together. The world today knows no settled peace. I read it this week in a little devotion by a man named Alistair Begg. I thought, that's right. He went on to say that the human spirit is just sagging under the weight of this moment. So what do you do? I mean, we got the Christmas tree and we got the candles and it's supposed to be all about peace and it's supposed to be all about Christmas and it's when we sit in the dark and we look at the tree and we think, isn't it beautiful? All is calm. All is right, bright, bright, right, whatever that word is. I always sing right. Some people, when they go looking for peace, they find it, they look for it in the bottom of a bottle. I read the other day that we are one of the drunkest states in the United States. I was like, let's not put that in the Chamber of Commerce brochure. Some people look for it in something they put in their arm. Some people look for it when they cut themselves. I had a server recently at a restaurant, and you could see her arm where she'd cut herself. A young man this week drew a picture in a classroom in Oxford, Michigan, of a person shooting another person, and he wrote, "Someone help me, the thoughts won't stop." And he shot a bunch of kids at a school. What do you do? Good news. Hundreds of years before Jesus came, Isaiah wrote, he will be called a wonderful counselor. He will be called a mighty God. He will be called an everlasting father. And then this, let's say it together. He will be called, let's say it like we believe it. He will be called, oh, I like that. Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. What does God do when he sees the world and the rip-roaring mess that he is? He cares enough to do something about it, and he sends his son, and he will be called. You can have everlasting Father. That means a lot. We need a mighty God. We really do. We need all of these things, but I'll take Prince of Peace this week. He comes as the Prince of Peace so that you can have peace with God. See, there was no way for a man or a woman to have peace with God. You couldn't work hard enough. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't do enough good deeds. You couldn't behave your way to God. Jesus comes and he gets personally involved for people who have sinned and rebelled and turned from God. And you say, well, I'm glad that's not me. Let me whisper to the person next to you. He's talking about you. Just tell the person next to you. He's talking about you. That's all of us. So that we can have peace with God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Ryan talked about that last Sunday. Colossians 1 says, God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell within him and through him to reconcile to himself all things. So that people that are living literally all the way over here can find peace with God. Peace with God. Rest for their souls. What this world needs these days is peace with God. Scripture says there was a time in Colossians when you were alienated from God and you were an enemy of God. But God's called you back and he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body. And he was delivered over to death, Romans says, for our sins. And he was raised to life for our justification. So how do I have peace with God? You wave the white flag of surrender. You just say, I'm done fighting. I'm done doing this on my own. You repent and you believe and you trust in him. You can have peace with God. And not only that, but you can have peace, oh, I like this, on the inside. Everybody put your hand on your heart. You can have peace on the inside. So I'm in Sierra Leone. And I'm sitting with a man who had lived through a huge rebellion in Sierra Leone. His house had been burned. His family had scattered. He had been attacked. I said, how did you make it through all of that? He said, it was scary. It was terribly afraid. I was terribly afraid. But then he said this, but I had peace. He touched his chest on the inside. If you are a terrified this Christmas season, if you're looking at your Christmas tree and sitting there and thinking, this is really nice, but honestly, I'm a little afraid right now. I'm a little unsettled about the reality of our world. If that's you, then listen, you are in good, good company. Really good company. Because in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, shepherds are out in the fields and angels show up. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. And then this, it says this, they were terrified. So if you're a little unsettled this Christmas, the shepherds were too. You ever been terrified? The phone call, the phone rang and you answered and they said, there's nothing we can do. Your son or daughter just goes out and lives their own way and does their own thing. Your boss says your services are no longer needed. You can have peace on the inside. I picture these shepherds. They're just minding their own business. They're out in the field and they're taking care of their flocks and it's like the night shift, right? And they're telling jokes and they're carrying on. And in the middle of it all, some of them are trying to sleep and boom, an angel shows up and they were terrified, which by the way, you would have been terrified too. You would have. Don't think you wouldn't. You say, no, I'm more spiritual than that. No, an angel shows up, you're going to be terrified. Like, what did I eat last night? The angel showed up. They began to sing. It says a whole chorus of them showed up and said, don't be afraid. This is good news of great joy for all the people. And in verse 14, it says, glory to God in highest heaven, on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace to those This isn't just about eternal peace. This is about peace within. And verse 16 says they're out there keeping their flocks and they're out there taking care of these sheep. And verse 16 says they hear this news and they hurried off. This is the first Christmas rush. They hurried off. You ever hurried off? Like, this is, hey, we gotta go. We hurried off. We're driving to the hospital. Hurried off. They hurried off. Why'd they hurry off? It hit me. When you have peace on the inside, you can move forward. You can hurry off. You say, well, I got problems. I got work problems and home problems and school problems and parent problems and spouse problems and kid problems and money problems and doctor problems. I got Dr. Seuss problems. I got problems here, problems there, problems everywhere. I got problems. Anybody got problems? Raise your hand. If you don't, hey, if you don't, thank the Lord. But if you do, you're in good company. Jesus said, all these things I've told you, so you can have peace. You're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to have problems, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You see, peace, that moment by the Christmas tree when the lights are down, peace is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of a person. It's not the absence of problems. It's the presence of a person named Jesus. I'm sitting with my grandmother, and she says to me, the older I get, I realize how good God has been to me. And I'm like, you're living by yourself in this little apartment in the middle of COVID. You're almost 98 years old. You're back. You're bent over. Wait, what was she saying? She was saying, I have peace in the midst of it because she said, God has been so good. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of a person. And here's the last one. You can have peace with people. Jesus coming means you can have peace with people. It says they heard this. They went and they saw the child. And when they saw the child, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. There was something that happened in the hearts of people that were like all facing that direction, all fired up about how mad they were about this census, that they hear this and they're amazed. They're amazed. I've come to the point where I believe this to my toes. The only way that the fighting will stop is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only way that we truly will be able to find ourselves by the Christmas tree and say, silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. The only way we'll truly have peace like that is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's through the person of Jesus. It's when a man or a woman like you and me sees this Christ child, and this Christ child so transforms their life that they tell that story to other people, when all who hear it are amazed. The only way that Facebook sniping will stop is the gospel of Jesus. The only way the fighting will stop the gospel of Jesus. The only way the peace will come is the gospel of Jesus. And you might say, Chad, that's not going to happen. It happened once before. For a moment. For a day. Christmas 1914. World War I. Two warring parties declared an unofficial truce for one day. And they journaled about it. So much so that a grocery store overseas actually made a little 3-minute commercial about it. And I've never been to this grocery store, but after watching this little video this week, I was like, I'll go there. I'll shop there all the time. And I want you to be moved by this story like I was as well. Peace with people.